Did you notice the full moon rising blood red in the east as the sun had set in the west 2 evenings ago? That would be our first full moon after the spring equinox, signaling the beginning of the Passover week for our Jewish brethren. It also qualifies then as our required first full moon of spring for the Christian celebration of the Paschal Triduum, these 3 holy days honoring the mystery of the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. You are well aware that Jesus was celebrating the Passover with his 12 apostles in the upper room on what would be the night of his Last Supper. In the Passover ritual, the father of the household says this benediction over the first of 4 cups of wine consumed during the ritual. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, creator of the fruit of the vine. And of course, you will readily recognize the Christian adaptation of this blessing in our prayer of preparation. Blessed are you, Lord God of all creation, for through your goodness we've received the wine we offer you, fruit of the vine, work of human hands. It will become our spiritual drink. The third cup in that meal of the Passover, which is called the cup of redemption, was shared after the meal of Lamb. This would have been the cup that Jesus took up and presented with the words, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it, for this is the chalice of my blood, blood of the new and everlasting covenant, which will be poured out for you and for the many for the forgiveness of sins." Also during the Passover meal in the Jewish household, the father takes the matzah, or the unleavened bread, and he says, "Blessed are you, Lord our God, ruler of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth." Again, we recognize the parallel in our offering of the bread as the priest says, "Blessed are you, Lord God of all creation, for through your goodness we receive the bread we offer you, fruit of the earth, work of human hands. It will become for us the bread of life." In an earlier part of that Passover ritual, the leader also says, "This is the bread of suffering, which our people ate when they were enslaved in Egypt. We invite all who are hungry to join us. We pray that all who are slaves will soon be free." Of course, they would have also been mindful of the manna with which they were fed in the desert. 6th chapter of the Gospel of John, we recall quite well, Jesus said of himself, "I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate manna in the desert, yet they died. If you will eat my flesh and drink my blood, you will live forever." Taking that bread at his Last Supper, he said to the disciples, "Take this, all of you, eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you." So Jesus is looking forward to the next day at Calvary. We see then, by virtue of our Christian faith, that Jesus gives us the gift of Holy Eucharist from the table of the Last Supper. With his directive to the apostles, "Do this in memory of me," he's commissioning them as his priests and giving them the gift of holy orders at that point. In the book by Scott Hahn, The Lamb's Supper, which we gave to all of our households here at Christmas time, which a number of us have been studying during the Lenten season, he explains very well how Jesus is both the high priest of the new covenant, offering the sacrifice that redeems us from the slavery of sin, which the atonement sacrifices of the priests in the temple in our behalf could at least beg God's redeeming mercy, and yet it would now be the God of redeeming mercy who is with us from Calvary. He is the priest offering that sacrifice, and he is the Lamb of that perfect sacrifice offered for us on the cross. Scott Hahn also explains very well how you and I, as we enter into this celebration here and now of this Eucharist today and at every Mass, every day, every year throughout the world, we are receiving the very same Jesus Christ who represents this sacrifice. Calvary, the crucifixion, were the sacrifice of the bloody kind, offered once and for all. our doing this in his memory brings the unbloody reality once more, the saving gift of his real and living presence. So today's Eucharist and every Mass, we have many things coming together all in one. All of the altars, all of the sacrifices. Abel offered the firstling of the flock as shepherd. The sacrifice of Abraham and the priest-king Melchizedek on Mount Moriah, which later would become Jerusalem. Those in the Temple of Solomon and later the one rebuilt by Herod on the very same mount. These would prefigure the sacrificial offering of the true Lamb of God from Calvary. That sacrifice and all of history that led up to it are once again realized for us here and now today. At the same time, we can look heavenward, get a glimpse of the heavenly worship from the throne of the Lamb of God, who is risen and with the Father in all his glory. For John the Evangelist, the one who stood beside the cross with Mary, writes in the book of Revelation, sharing that vision that he was instructed to write down. In that vision, there is the one Lamb of God, as the scripture says, standing as if slain. Now around him, the 24 elders, the multitude of angels are gathered, and they cry out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts," which we also do as we prepare then to enter into the Eucharistic prayer, the Supper of the Lamb. There's a countless number of those sealed with the Lamb, as through our baptism, those whose martyr's blood was shed in the early Christian persecutions. All of these from the heavenly Jerusalem are gathered with us. And I just like to think at that point that we finish the Holy Holy and start the Eucharistic prayer. Just think of the multitude who are with us. Even if there's only two or three of us physical human beings here in the church, we have all of those, the angels, the saints, those who have gone before us. They're gathered too around the throne of the Lamb and attending to and looking in on and being with us here. So what a wondrous festival gathering it is. We say, lift up our hearts, we lift them up to the Lord. Be aware then that we of earth are moving heavenward, those of heaven are moving earthward to join together in the eternal praise of God. At this particular liturgy today, you'll notice the gospel reading had us at the supper table with Jesus and permitting him, if we are the apostles gathered there, to have our feet washed. And what a humbling thing that is. Humbling for us to receive it, but how humbling it was for Jesus to do this for us. He would have been the lowly servant. When you come into a house for dinner, of course, you came off the dusty streets and your feet were dirty, so the lowly servant would wash your feet as you prepared then to enter. And Jesus takes that role. The lowliest of the servants, humbling himself, obedient even to death on the cross for us. So that washing is a symbol of, do you recognize what I have done for you? So too must you do for one another. Humble ourselves to be the servants of the people of God. So it is that symbolic gesture which we will once again reiterate here. The Knights of Columbus will help us once again in that symbolic. But each one of us recognize that it is Christ also inviting us to be washed in him and by him. As we come together then to the table of Eucharist, let us recognize that as from the Passover celebration, the washing of hands, it was part of that ritual. The priest who washes his hands symbolically here, Lord, cleanse me of my sin, wash away my iniquity. That each one of us too are asking that same of God. And then when we bring the bread and wine to the table, bring your, as we say, prayers, works, joys, and sufferings, all that you are, all that you have, the work you do, the labors, the anxieties and fears that we have, all of these things we also come to the Lord to bring to the table, and our Lord will accept those as the